The Bible says, let all things be done decently and in order. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 40. In today's world, customs shift and opinions vary, but God's word remains settled and fixed. Psalms 119 and verse 89. As Christians or disciples of Christ, our goal must not be to adapt Scripture to our preferences, but to understand God's perfect design for worship, for learning, and order in the church. This lesson will answer whether public Bible study is scripturally authorized as a means of edification. Additionally, this study explores two foundational scriptures pertaining to conduct in a public Bible study setting. 1 Corinthians 14, 34 and 35, which governs conduct in public worship, such as we have here this morning. And 1 Timothy 2, 11 through 12, which outlines broader spiritual roles and behaviors. Together, these passages will guide us as we clarify the role of women in public Bible study settings, identify what is biblically permissible and what is not, and reinforce why this order matters to God and to the church. Let us begin by asking, is there scriptural authority for public Bible study? We have commands to teach and edify one another. The Bible says, teaching them to observe all things from the words of Jesus, Matthew 28, 19 through 20. The Hebrew writer said, you ought to be teachers. Read Hebrews 5 and verse 12. Paul told Timothy, commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2. These verses clearly show that ongoing teaching and learning is central to discipleship. The assembly for learning God's word is not only authorized, but it is expected. Let's explore some examples of Christians meeting for teaching. The Bible says that Paul taught daily in the school of one Tyrannus, Acts 19 and verse 9. Paul taught publicly and from house to house, Acts 20 and verse 20. The Bible says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another. Colossians 3 and verse 16. Teaching occurred both publicly and privately, inside and outside the formal assembly. Bible study is authorized as a work of edification, along with apostles, prophets, and evangelists. Jesus gave some teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, Ephesians 4 and verse 12. Let's now examine Paul's instruction regarding silence in the formal assembly. This is where the whole church comes together for edification. When the whole church be come together into one place, reads 1 Corinthians 14, 23, Paul addresses how spiritual gifts were used in worship in this context. Though miraculous gifts have ceased, 1 Corinthians 13, 8 through 10, the principle of orderly worship remained, 1 Corinthians 14, 40. God has given specific instruction for behavior in that setting. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law, reads 1 Corinthians 14, 33 and 34. Notice, if you will, the following text breakdown. The first phrase from 1 Corinthians 14, 34 reads, let your women keep silence in the churches. Silence means to be silent, to say nothing, to refrain from speaking in this particular context. The same Greek word is used earlier, a tongue speaker must be silent. if no interpreter is present. 1 Corinthians 14:28. A prophet must be silent if another receives revelation. 1 Corinthians 14:30. This indicates complete vocal silence, not just quietness or restraint. This silence is applied consistently to preserve order and peace. The next phrase from 1 Corinthians 14:34, "For it is not permitted unto them to speak." This word "speak" means to talk, to utter sounds, to vocalize words. There is no indication that this only refers to disruptive speech. This instruction forbids any form of vocal instruction in the formal assembly setting. God has not authorized women to speak aloud in public worship, not in leading, teaching, or in general vocal roles. Another phrase from 1 Corinthians 14:34, "But they are commanded to be under obedience." Under obedience means to subject oneself, to submit to authority, to rank under. It reflects both a spiritual posture and practical action. Silence is not just about refraining from speaking. It reflects a heart of submission to God's order, not to man's order. "Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God," Ephesians 5, verse 21. The final phrase from 1 Corinthians 14:34, "as also saith the law." Paul here appeals to the Old Testament law, especially the creation order. Woman was created after man as a helper, Genesis 2:18, Genesis 2:23. Man is given the role of rule in the home, Genesis 3:16. This shows the instruction is not cultural, but based on timeless truths rooted from creation. In summary, 1 Corinthians 14:23 through 35 clearly applies to the formal worship assembly, when the whole church be come together into one place. 1 Corinthians 14:23. God commands silence of women in the context of public speech, public teaching, or public instruction. This instruction reflects God's character, aligns with the principle of submission, and is based on God's timeless order, not local custom. Now that we've examined public worship, let's consider silence in a broader teaching context. From 1 Timothy 2, Paul expands beyond the assembly and gives God's general instruction for how women are to behave in any setting involving spiritual teaching among men. Notice, if you will, the following text breakdown. The first phrase from 1 Timothy 2:11, let the woman learn in silence. This silence is a different Greek word than the word found in 1 Corinthians 14. Strong's definition is stillness, quietness, silence. Not necessarily absolute muteness, but the absence of disturbance or assertion. Thayer's lexicon reads quietness or descriptive of a life free from outward disturbance, used to describe a calm demeanor and submissive conduct, especially in contrast to public authority or leading roles. Vine's definition is quietness rather than mere silence. It is the opposite of turmoil or public expression of authority. It describes a quiet, orderly life, not disruptive or assertive. Silence in the context of 1 Timothy 2 means quietness or calm demeanor, but not total muteness. Paul is not forbidding learning, he commands it, but the manner of learning matters. It implies a posture of humble reception and ongoing growth, not teaching or leading over men. The next phrase from 1 Timothy 2:11, "with all subjection." Subjection conveys the idea of willingly submitting to another's authority. A woman learns in a way that acknowledges God's order and headship. 1 Corinthians 11:3. Another phrase from 1 Timothy 2:12, I suffer not a woman to teach. Teach refers to instructing with authority. Paul is not permitting women to teach men in spiritual settings, as it violates God's structure. The final phrase from 1 Timothy 2:12, nor to usurp authority over the man. Usurp authority means to exercise or take spiritual authority over a man. And it strongly implies assertive or dominating control. So any setting where a woman would lead, correct, or guide men spiritually is therefore outside the bounds of Scripture. 1 Timothy 2:12 through 14 is rooted in creation, not culture. Paul doesn't ground this teaching in culture, but in the created order. Adam was first formed, 1 Timothy 2:13. And it was Eve who was deceived in 1 Timothy 2:14. This is a timeless rationale reaching back to Genesis. Therefore, it applies not only to formal worship assemblies, but to the Bible class study and any setting or location where men are present. Having established the timeless nature of Paul's teaching, we now make application to Bible class settings. If men are present, women must not take a teaching role. This includes being the class instructor, guiding the discussion, or reading scripture aloud in a way that leads. Women are encouraged to be students, helpers, and encouragers, but never leaders in spiritual teaching over men. Let us now make practical application of what is permissible and what is not. Many congregations seek to build one another up through the expedience of public Bible study classes. How can women participate without violating God's instructions? What is biblically permissible, but with extreme caution, I might add? Learning quietly with submission. This is encouraged. 1 Timothy 2:11. Singing praises. Singing is commanded for all. Ephesians 5:19. Teaching children or other women, Titus 2, 3-5. Privately sharing the gospel. Priscilla with her husband Aquila taught Apollos privately, Acts 18 and verse 26. Respectfully asking a question, if truly for their own learning, not done out of spite or to challenge, to teach, or direct the discussion. We might compare 1 Corinthians 14:35, where women should ask questions at home to avoid disruption. What is not permissible? Teaching or guiding men in spiritual instruction in a public setting, 1 Timothy 2:12. Leading mixed gender Bible classes. Reading scripture aloud in a manner that directs the class. Leading prayers or songs in the presence of men. The Bible says men are to lead prayer in every place, 1 Timothy 2:8. Correcting or guiding the male teacher, even by phrasing it as a question or comment. Before we conclude, let us remember why this order matters. God's character demands order, because God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, 1 Corinthians 14:33. His plan brings clarity, harmony, and unity, not disorder. Peace and clarity are part of God's nature. Disorder in spiritual roles misrepresents Him. God's headship structure reflects His wisdom. God, Christ, man, woman, 1 Corinthians 11:3. This reflects the divine order established from creation. This divine order is not temporary or cultural, but rooted in His eternal plan. Submission honors God's design. The principle from 1 Timothy 2:13 and 14 is grounded in creation. Adam formed first. Eve was deceived. Silence and submission reflect a heart aligned with God's authority. Why this order matters? We glorify God through obedience. When we follow this structure in public worship and Bible study, we glorify God by trusting His wisdom over human preferences. Some final thoughts. Be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, Ephesians 5:17. As we study together, we have seen that public Bible study is not only authorized, it is expected of faithful Christians. Yet even in Bible study settings, God has given us clear instructions about order and role distinctions. Women are encouraged to learn, grow, and teach other women and children. But God has not permitted them to lead or instruct over men in spiritual settings. This is not about value or ability, but about honoring the order God established from creation. When we submit to His will, whether in the worship assembly, a Bible class, or even private study, we show our love for Him and glorify His name. So let us submit to doing all things decently and in order, trusting that God's design is always right, always best, and always leads to peace and unity within the body of Christ. If you have a spiritual need, the Lord invites, and we await you this. Won't you come while together we stand and sing?
There's a fountain free, 'tis for you and me. Let us haste, oh haste to His bring. 'Tis the fountain of love from the source above, and He bids us all freely drain. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you and me, thirsty soul. Hear the welcome call. 'Tis the fountain open for all. There's a rock that's cleft, and no soul is left that may not its pure water share. 'Tis for you and me, and its stream I see. Let us hasten joyfully there. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you and me, thirsty soul. Here